We're going to take calls and emails. Our number here is 345-0910, 345-0910. Please give us a call. We're going to talk a little basketball now. Like I said, we're talking, who's talking actually. I got to review a few things. Jim, UVA's had a couple of good wins, not what you would call, you know, showcase wins, but they were good timing to get those W's.
Yeah, I think the weatherman helped us, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. I think UNCW would have been a challenging game coming back from the exam break. You know, Virginia takes an extended exam break because of the nature of the academic challenge that players have. So I think UNCW, that game being postponed, may be a favor, because I sort of saw that as a trap game coming off exams. And the other thing about it is, you know, being scheduled January 18th, it kind of breaks up the ACC schedule. I think it's always difficult when you finish your non-conference games and you just stare ahead and you got 16 straight ACC games. So UNCW on January the 18th will be maybe welcome to see somebody other than an ACC foe. Nevertheless, you know, I would say in three of the four games since the exam break, NJIT, New Jersey Institute of Technology, or whatever that is, Hampton, and certainly last night, Texas Pan American. Let's be candid, those were not the most challenging of opponents. But UAB, as you said earlier, was a quality opponent and certainly a quality win for this basketball team. So it gives them a little momentum going into conference play with that four-game winning streak.
You know, in fact, the UAB Blazers arrived at JPJ this past weekend with a gaudy 11-1 record. They had beaten Cincinnati, Butler, and South Alabama. So, to my way of thinking, that's going to be a good notch in the belt going down the line as the season wears on. And if Virginia can put together a decent ACC season and win more than their share of this time, it could come into reckoning, maybe getting an at-large bid or at least an
NIT bid. Yeah, I mean, it, no question it's a quality win. And of course, UAB, after losing in Charlottesville, went out and played a road game at Arkansas and won at the buzzer out there against the Razorbacks. So they continue to play well. I guess the one thing, you look at the stat sheet from the UAB game, they, meaning the Blazers, shot a horrendous 5-for-15 from the free throw line. So, I mean, you know, when you shoot 33% from the free throw line, it's pretty easy to figure out why they lost the basketball game. You lose a close game and miss free throws like that. And I think that's one of the challenges of college basketball these days. The art of shooting has become a lost art. You know, I think these kids are so athletic. Everybody wants to take it to the rim, and particularly the mid-range jump shot is a thing out of the past. Everybody either wants to shoot the three ball or dunk it. So if you have a mid-range game, which may be one reason why Sylvan Landisberg has had some success, because he obviously is very successful taking it to the rim and getting fouled and going to the free throw line, but he has a mid-range game. I guess the one thing that Sylvan's game still is lacking a little bit is the three-point basket. I think going into last night's game, he had only made 5 3-point baskets in the first 11 games, which probably not good enough, because I think a lot of ACC teams are going to force him to make that perimeter shot.
Look at the saying.
Yeah, give him a step or two and try to take that drive to the basket away from him.
Well, one thing I noticed last night in the game up in Charlottesville, I thought that Virginia tried repeatedly to make their entry passes into Mike Scott from almost a 45-degree angle, closer to the foul line extended. But later in the game, they pushed that entry pass down to the baseline, and they were able to get that ball in there quicker. The defense is more vulnerable there, or at least it seemed that way. And then he could kick it right back out, and various players got good looks, including Scott and Sylvan.
Well, feeding the post is, as you say, is really about passing angles and timing. You know, I mean, if you got a post guy, he's working really hard, and that defender's trying to overplay him or deny him the basketball. So if you're on the perimeter, you're a guard, you're a wing player, whatever, you got to get the basketball to the post player at that moment when he is open, and then he either makes his move based on the defensive situation or, as you say, kick it out on the perimeter. And I think that's one thing, a good post player. And I always talk about diagonal cross. I mean, if you're in the low blocks on one side of the floor, oftentimes that help side defense is coming from the other side, which opens up some perimeter shot opportunities on the weak side. And I think a good post player will recognize that and get the basketball to somebody. And the key with the perimeter guys is get your feet set so that you're ready to catch and shoot. And, you know, because the defense is going to recover pretty quick.
Which brings me to this point. Watching the Virginia team this year, I feel that Tony Bennett's got to be getting a little bit more confident with Sammy Zaglinski when he lets it fly from long range. However, both Jeff Jones, Mustafa Farrakhan, and to some degree John Tell Evans have not been that reliable yet in providing, you know, that balanced scoring that you need. In light of the fact that, you know, as we gear up for NC State and Georgia Tech in these first few ACC games, clearly they're going to game plan to try to limit what Scott can do down low and to also double-team Landisburg on the perimeter, particularly late in the possession clock. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, and I've thought all year that the key to the success of this team would be what I call developing a fourth scorer. You know, as you say, it's become apparent. You knew going in that Sylvan was a quality player and would have another good year. Mike Scott has continued to improve during his, not what is now his third year. Sammy Zaglinski has really developed into a quality point guard and has made, well, you know, you look at his statistics again going into last night, shooting 47% from three-point range, which is outstanding. So the three of them are the three key guys, and they're all getting a lot of minutes. I mean, Sylvan generally plays 30-plus minutes a game, and Zaglinski and Scott are both going to get probably 30 or 30-plus in ACC tournament games or ACC regular season games. Last night, Will Sherrill and Calvin Baker were in the starting lineup. Now, I don't know if that's a permanent starting lineup or not. And you, you know, we were going to invite callers to call in about that and also get Frank Maloney's opinion as to whether or not this is the right starting lineup for the Hoos.
Well, you know, as far as the lineup goes, I started thinking more along these lines after listening to Whitey Reed on his show last week, who talked about his starting five would be John Tell Evans at the point. He would have Sammy playing the two, meaning the shooting guard, and then Sylvan playing the three, Mike Scott at the four, and starting Sene at center to give us some height and some shot blocking. We, at that time, I think we both kind of teased Whitey a little bit. But, you know, coming back to that and thinking about what we were watching last night and what we've seen develop so far this season, I keep wondering why Jeff Jones is not in the lineup. There's something going on there. I don't know what it is. I don't understand it. He's the most athletic guy on the team.
Well, and my feeling going into the year was he was a key component because I thought he could be that fourth consistent scorer. It has not worked out that way to date, which is a disappointment. I mean, you know, that's one of the disappointments. You look at specific games and you say, well, that was a disappointment or not. But certainly by the time you get to conference play, you'd like to have kind of established your rotation and your starting lineup. I think from the standpoint of John Tell Evans, it's become apparent he's going to get a lot of minutes and a lot of quality minutes. And I think what Whitey said last night is probably happening because Calvin Baker has kind of moved into the lineup. And if they have a point guard, it might be Calvin to try to get Sammy to that two guard position. And I think the reason is what we talked about earlier, the 27 made threes going into last night's game. You'd like to get him at the two position, take some of the pressure of the ball handling off of him so that he can get in a situation where he can spot up and get some looks at the basket.
I can't disagree with that at all. You know, one thing that Tony Bennett talked about in his recent teleconferences and post-game press conferences, he's been impressed with the vocal leadership that Calvin Baker has been bringing to the table. And he's been rewarded because Calvin's generally now given up 4, 5, and 6 assists in some of these games. And so he's distributing the ball better. He's not making the horrible jump in the air turnover that leads to a fast break the other way.
Well, there's no substitute for experience, and Calvin has been out there, and he's a fifth-year player. Very competitive, hard-nosed kid, wants to win in the worst kind of way. Smart kid, as people remember, he transferred from William & Mary, and you don't get in William & Mary even as an athlete unless you're a bright kid. So he brings a lot to the table, and I think Coach Bennett likes that experience as well as his hard-nosed competitive instincts. But nevertheless, it'll be interesting. NC State on Saturday, a very big game, opening game in the ACC for the Virginia, a game that the Cavs certainly have to think they could get down there and steal one on the road to begin the ACC season.
And wouldn't that give Tony Bennett and his assistant coaches a lot of optimism? You know, NC State this year to date, they lost to Northwestern in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. They lost to Arizona. They lost at Wake by 12, and then they lost last weekend at home to Florida on that 70-foot prayer at the buzzer on Sunday. Currently, they sit 10-4. They've, like I said, they lost one game in the ACC. They play Holy Cross tonight.
The Crusaders.
It'll be interesting to see how the Wolfpack and the Crusaders tangle tonight.
Well, I'm sure NC State, after that loss over the weekend, is anxious to get it back on the floor and get a win tonight. Let's assume they win tonight. That would give them an 11-4 record going into their conference opener at home against Virginia, who will be 8-4, obviously, going to the game. From Virginia's standpoint, Frank, you know, you look at it after NC State, you know, four of the next five games are at home, so the Cavs have an opportunity. I mean, again, if you find a way to win at NC State and in ACC play, that's what you're trying to do. You're just trying to find a way to win, but then come home to Georgia Tech, Miami, UNC, Wilmington, on the road at Wake Forest, and then Virginia Tech at home to finish out the month. So kind of an opportunity in front of Virginia to potentially get off to a decent start in conference play and keep a little momentum rolling here.
I agree. It truly is a good opportunity. I guess we're coming up on our third break here. We're going to come back in a minute and talk briefly about some of the health of some of the players and discuss some of the other sports. You're listening to Who's Talking